All right, welcome to From the Corner. This is the Baylor Lariat podcast. You're on air with sports editor Will Parchman and sports writers Justin Baer and Brian Bateman. Guys, we got a packed show today. We got some good stuff coming. I guess first up on the chopping block, we're going to cut right to the chase. No hanky-panky. This is a for-real show, and we're getting right down to the issues. So, boys, let's get it kicking off with Baylor men's basketball. Tough result up there in Lawrence.
I was proud of the way the Bears hung in there, though. You know, right there at the end, we had a chance throughout the whole game, and then Kansas, just tough front line killed us there. It's amazing they scored 100 points with no 3-pointers made.
0 for 9.
That's kind of shocking right there. And then looking at Darrell Arthur's stats, kind of brings some tears to my eyes, knowing that he should have been at Baylor, except for that dream he had one night that changed his mind and switched his commitment to Kansas. I think that was really the outcome or the difference maker in that game. 190. It's pretty impressive, though. I think it's the first time in 5 years that somebody scored 90 points on Kansas. That's what I looked up, or that's what I've read. So I was kind of proud of our offense production there, but. You know, when you allow 100 points, with a lot of those coming from in the paint, it's kind of looks bad on your inside presence, mainly Lomers and Mamadou, especially after Lomers had just had a great game against Tech just a few games ago.
Just can't put it. Yeah, the problem I see with this team is that they can't seem to put it together for two halves, either offensively or defensively, and put those two together. Because if you look at Baylor's night offensively, it wasn't all bad. First half, shoot 40% from the field. That's not terrible against a team like Kansas. Second half, shoot 47%. So you up the intensity there, which is great. Score nearly 60 points in the second half. I mean, not a whole lot more you can ask from your team. Get out and run with one of the best. The problem is, you hold Kansas to 39% shooting in the first half. They shoot 64% in the second half. Kind of unacceptable. Isn't that right, Brian? I mean, you can't kind of get into a groove if you're letting them kind of have these easy lanes to the basket. And it did kind of seem like they're giving them those lanes.
Right, and I think a lot of that had to do with the change in defense. You know, his first half, I mean, it was a close spot game. It was, you know, man-to-man the whole time. And then he saw a lot of zone coming in the second half. And Kansas just picked that apart. Like, we saw them play against Texas, and Texas are in the same 2-3 zone. And they're able to pick them apart pretty well. And I think that really just changed when they were able to just go down there and get open shots and just hit them, and then it just became a race back and forth. And that's a game that Baylor likes to play. Don't get me wrong. It's you know, the Phoenix Suns of old, kind of run around and throw the ball up, get more shots off than your opponent. But it's just, you know, when you have a team like Kansas, it's hard to catch up with a team that's as good as they are.
And it's working. I think we saw the trends kind of bear themselves out in this game. Lomers kind of came back to earth after Tech, kind of, you know, has a pretty mediocre 1-of-3 night. Rogers being absent probably was the difference. But, again, you got CJ and Lace Darius have great games. And one of the biggest recurring themes, guys, that is really starting to worry me. I mean, Aaron Bruce not having good games, I mean, okay. I mean, you can kind of deal with some of his production outside of his scoring because he does so many other things. Tweedy Carter, I want to talk about Tweedy for a little bit. This guy, he's shown some things, being able to pass the ball around, but he just doesn't take a whole lot of shots. And the ones he does take don't seem, I mean, they seem rushed. I mean, does it not seem like the guy just can't wrap his head around this offense? Because, I mean, his shots just aren't pretty.
Yeah, I really have no idea what it is. You know, coming out of high school, he was the most prolific scorer in high school history. It's something like 30,000 points. I don't know. I don't have the stat on me. And then coming into Baylor, you figured he was going to keep that same level of offensive intensity up there, but he really hasn't been producing like we expected him to. Lace Darius, on the other hand, we expected him to do some great things, and obviously 23 points against Kansas, shooting 5 of 10 from behind the three-point line. It's pretty good right there. But obviously, going back to Tweedy, he is one of the better defenders on the team, so that does help. He is a playmaker, but his shot selection does kind of worry me.
And I think a big thing with that is just with with the inclusion of Darius Dunn in this offense, it's just he's going out there and he's taking all the shots, which doesn't leave much for Tweedy to take a lot. So his role really is just become this defender, and you know just get over there and he's great at it. You know, he's 3 or 4 inches shorter than any other guard that he's playing against, and yet he's been able to shut them down pretty well every night. But a big thing that I've noticed with Darius Dunn that really makes this a problem is that with it, he's taking those shots. Yes, he's the second leading scorer or average per game on this team, but when he takes the shots, he's taking, he'll hit a really good shot and then he'll fall in love with it. I think we saw that in Kansas. He would hit a three and then he would go back from way far out and he'd shoot one from even further, almost half court, and it was an air ball. And he kept doing this over and over trying to get going. And I think just when you have that guy trying to get on track as a freshman and Twee just having to go in a different role, that really causes some sort of problems
there. And Drew has talked about this. He actually addressed it firsthand on Monday in his press conference, and he said he was asked about Lace Darius's fearless attitude, and I think it should be noted. I mean, we got to give the guy some credit. I mean, hitting a 4-point play, he hit the 3-pointer, drew the foul, then hit the ensuing free throw. Not only was it a 4-point play, but it evened the game at 50. So I mean, when you're talking freshman, I mean, all you can ask there, 7 for 14, 5 of 10 from 3. But it does seem like he can be kind of a mood killer on the offensive end. Because, I mean, you make a defensive stop, maybe start passing it around the arc a little bit. His first touch, he'll take it and he'll take a shot. And, I mean, it might rattle out. Am I right? Obviously, I mean, against Kansas, he had a 50% shot of making it. But, I mean, that's also a 50% shot that you're going to kill all of your momentum and give it right back to Kansas, who will, you know, do great things with momentum. So, I mean, in general, I mean, 23 points in 20 minutes against the number 4 team in the country, I mean, it's kind of hard to nitpick at that. Because, I mean, that's undeniable production. But as his career goes on, I think Drew is going to gradually try to wean him off some of those more difficult shots.
Another thing I think we've kind of overlooked is CJ's production in the past few games, ever since the Texas A&M game, really. In the first three Big 12 games, I was struggling quite a bit. I remember at the Nebraska game, he actually got subbed out for because of his lack of free throw shooting. And a game we barely won there in the end. But ever since that A&M game, he's really turned into the guard that we expected him to be. He's really dominated some of the games, which is good to see, especially, I mean, I'm not trying to overlook tonight's game against Oklahoma State, but when we have a huge game against Texas coming up Saturday, to see one of our better guards at the top of his game, it's something I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, and in Oklahoma State, that's a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're 2-7 in the Big 12, and given they're not playing very good basketball right now, but you have to take into account the 13,000 plus at Gallagher Ibo Arena. I mean, Kevin Rogers talked about it earlier this week too. I mean, that the noise in that arena just kind of seems to funnel down to the court, and then it goes straight up and bounces right back down the court. I mean, the players can hear it. So, going into a place like that, arguably the most hostile arena. I mean, I think all the players agreed that it was a lot more hostile than the Allen Fieldhouse up in Lawrence. So going into a place like that with a team that, you know, maybe is on the lower cusp of the league, I mean, you can't overlook games like that. I mean, it's difficult enough playing on the road in the Big 12, but it's also, I mean, it's difficult enough for this team trying to overcome this new title of being, they're no longer the underdogs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's difficult enough as it is, and then you got to deal with the crowd. Kevin Rogers said it's like 6-on-5 out there sometimes.
Right, and I think that's a big key. It's just this team, it just seems this whole year has been, they've been playing really well, but they always seem to play to the level of competition. And whether it's they're playing against the best team in the nation, or they're playing against, you know, somebody who's not, you know, not the greatest, it's always somewhat of a close game, and I think that's especially when you go on the road to a team that can upset anybody on any given night. I mean, we saw Tech beat A&M at the beginning of a Big 12 play, so things can happen anywhere, and that's something that Baylor's just going to have to watch out for.
And honestly, I am kind of worried about tonight's game. I mean, if you look at it on paper, we should win, but when the Cowboys came to visit us back on January 15th, we were pretty much neck and neck throughout that whole game until the last few minutes. Oklahoma State has some really good players. James Anderson, Marcus Stove, one of the better defenders in the league. So that could really cause some problems tonight for the Bears.
And kind of in general, I mean, looking at that last Oklahoma State game, that was actually the lowest turnout for a home Big 12 game all season. And that's for good reason. I mean, Oklahoma State, they kind of play boring basketball. I mean, they push it, but they're not good enough to kind of play that General Sutton kind of up and down the court, kind of shut you down, lock you down on defense, hounding defense. They just don't have the personnel to keep up with Baylor's speed. And it showed the last time they played here on January 15th. So Baylor's task is really super simple, and it's basically the same thing that they've been bringing to the table all year. And it's to push the ball, get the ball up court, maybe kick it out to Kevin Rogers on the wing and hope he hits that baseline jumper, that 10 to 15 footer that has been kind of on and off for him all year. So if they can push Oklahoma State, because they're not, I mean, yeah. Byron Eaton has struggled with his weight.
He's not near as quick as Dugard or Darrell's.
Yeah, I mean, they can't keep up with the guard play. And the key is going to be the bigs muscling out Oklahoma State's bigs. Because in the end, the guard play just, I mean, it shouldn't be a match. And it wasn't the last time they played. I mean, that game was, it was not as close as the score indicated. And I think that's probably going to wrap it up for our men's basketball edition. And we will be coming right back after a word from our sponsors.